that maybe days are getting a little bit shorter. So if you were planning on doing something yourself after work, you're not going to necessarily have all the daylight you need to do that. But if you got an outdoor project that you are considering, JITS Concrete may be a great resource for you. They've got decades of experience with all things concrete, from the materials to the connections to the strengths to the codes, all of those things, what needs to be done to prepare the job, what tools you're going to need to pour it, what tools you're going to need to finish it, what you're going to need to do to clean up. Let them put their expertise, their experience, and their great work ethic on display for you. And so if that sounds like something that you may find yourself in need of, I believe that you would find them to be very competitive price-wise, and they would do a great job for you the way that they've done a great job for us. Something to consider, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. And his family's been at Merit Assembly of God for longer than I have, and I've been there a long, long time, and they have done numerous projects around the church and my house. They do a great, great job. Today I want to take you to Psalm 69. This is a Psalm of David. It is a Psalm that has about 36 verses in it. We're talking about developing a lifestyle of praise and worship. And a lot of times people think that the only time that they can praise God is if everything is going perfectly. You know, everything is just lined up. You made all of the green lights on the way to church. The kids didn't give you any challenges or anything like that. And you just woke up and it's like, yes, today's the day that I get to praise God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I think as we look at Psalm 69, that you will see that the situation should be that we praise God all the time, not just when things are perfectly fine. So I'm going to read portions of this. It's got 36 verses, so I'm not going to read all of it. And then we'll dive into it. So this is the Psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty. Who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully? Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Drop down to verse number 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children, because the zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Verse number 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you. O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters let not the flood water overflow me. Nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Verse number 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. That's Psalm 69. So as we work through this passage, I'm going to touch on four or five different aspects of this passage that we read. The first one is I want to describe to you Saul, David's current reality as he is writing this psalm. The first thing he realizes is he needs God to save and deliver. He says, "Save me, O God." You know, I heard a story one time about a young man, and when he first became a Christian, he set out, and his goal was to change the world. And then about the time that he had got to about 30, his prayer was no longer, "God, use me to change the world." His prayer was, "God, would you use me to change my country?" And a little more time went on, and the subject of his prayer changed again, and it was no longer change the world, no longer change the country, but his prayer was, "God, would you change my family?" And more time went on, and his prayer changed again, and it became, "God, would you change me?" And a lot of times we are looking to bring change to everyone except for the one person that we have the authority, have the ability to submit to God and see God change that one person, and that person is us. So if we are crying out, "God, would you save me? Would you change me? Would you deliver me?" That can flip the script to where when our family sees us change, then they're going to want the one who changed us to change them, and that will change our family. If we change our family, it will change even more groups of people, larger groups of people. Our sphere of influence would grow, and it really can change the world, but it has to begin with, "God, save me." And that's where David is. There isn't anything that's noted here in the Bible. There may be some historic documents out there. There may be some backstory and things like that that scholars have that I do not have access to. But I can tell you that David was probably king or on his way to be king when this was written, and it probably wasn't the Goliath that he was facing. In fact, David's greatest enemy, I heard this and I thought, that's true. David's greatest enemy wasn't Goliath. David's greatest enemy wasn't Saul. David's enemies became the members of his household because David was David's greatest enemy. Now, don't misunderstand me. David was a man after God's own heart. God forgave him, but he was a person with flaws, a lot of times we want to glamorize and perfect people who were imperfect people. And I will tell you that that's a very dangerous place to be, because all of us have flaws. We're not here to make excuse for our sins and for our shortcomings, for the dangers that we face. Instead, we have to deal with those. So there's some things that are going on with me, and they're not bad spiritual things or anything like that. There's just some things physically that I've been dealing with, and I realized that I don't just want to have a maintenance approach. I'm looking for a resolution approach. I don't want to deal with things long term that are going to cause, you know, side effects and things like that. So there's some things that I'm going to do in my life. There's a book I read a long time ago. It made this statement. It said, change before you have to. And so there's some things that I'm going to do, because even though I've been doing what I was told to do, there are some side effects with some of those things. And I'm saying, you know what? I just don't want to maintain a faulty physical issue. I want to resolve that. And I believe that God can help me physically the same way that he helped David with his kingdom issues, his spiritual issues, and his family issues. Save me, O God. Listen to how he describes the problems here in Psalm 69, verse number 1. For the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He says those things as they are a current reality. He's not just speaking theoretically. He's describing the perception that he has of how overwhelming the problems that he is facing in his life. You may think that if the problems are so numerous and they're coming at you from so many different directions, you might think that that person is not going to want to praise God until after the problems are resolved. But I will tell you, Psalm 69 doesn't describe that. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to wait to praise you until the solution comes. I mean, make no mistake about it, David is looking for a solution. But he describes, he says, man, I am perilously close to not being able to breathe. I can't touch the bottom. I feel as if there's very little time that I have left. I feel like I'm sinking and the problems are rising, and that's a bad, bad combination. So, That's what he's asking him for. God, I need you to save me, because my current circumstances, my current realities are more than I can handle. And I will say this, if our sin issues are more than we can handle. It doesn't matter whether you deal with, you know, the one little area of your life, or if the entirety of your life is messed up. We have no power to be able to overcome those issues on our own behalf. We need Jesus. We need him. And so David, in verse number 3, he says, I'm weary with crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for God. So there he is, suspended, if you will, crying out to God, and all he has that he can do is wait. Now, the good news is that God is omnipresent, and we need to treasure his presence. And as we treasure his presence, we find ourselves waiting, fully expecting that he's going to come and deliver. There are some videos that I have seen that people have posted on social media, and I'm thinking, wow, those people, they are braver than I am in some of these instances where there's been a wild predatory animal caught in a trap. And one of the videos that I saw had they had invented a steel plate that they could take out there. So I would imagine that this has happened on more than one occasion in order to come up with that. They'd created a little bitty opening in that plate where they could put that steel plate as a barrier between them and the animal that they were trying to rescue, because the animal that needed rescuing viewed the rescuer as a threat. And so they would bare their teeth. They would position themselves in as defensive a manner as possible, but yet they were ready to lash out at just a moment's notice, because they didn't realize that the person who was there wasn't there to do them harm. They were there to set them free. A lot of people view God as a threat when they don't realize he's really their liberator and their rescuer. And so we need to pray. We need to cry out. We need to say, God, here I am. We're walking in covenant together, and I'm caught in a trap, and I need you. And I'm just gonna wait here for you. And you wouldn't think that things could get much better, where you're caught, you're suspended, you're helpless, and the problems are rising and you're sinking. But David adds this in verse number 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you were in a season where the enemies that you were facing were like the world against you. If that is the way that you find yourself, it could be financially, it could be spiritually, it could be relationally, it could be, you know, family problems, things like that. If that's the situation that you find yourself in, I am not telling you to ignore the reality of that. I'm just encouraging you, cry out to God. God, save me in this situation, because only you can do that. David then goes on and he has a confession. And I think that I found this when I was studying this, I found it refreshing. And it says this, oh God, you know my foolishness. Now, we don't ever really want to be known as foolish people. I can tell you there's some things that I did in my youth, my young adult experience, that I wouldn't do now. Wasn't that they were bad, it's just that they weren't necessarily wise. Whenever I talk about wisdom, I also like to bring faith into the equation, because there are some people who believe that a step of faith is contrary to the path of wisdom. And I always like to tell people that faith and wisdom are not in conflict with one another. They complement one another. And so David is not afraid to tell God, look, I know I've got some foolishness that I've committed in my life. The situation with Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba, that wasn't wisdom. David had one of his mightiest men intentionally positioned in harm's way so that he would perish. When that happens, you have weakened yourself. If you've got spiritual allies in 2025, don't be attacking them. Because in doing that, whenever you attack an ally, you are literally weakening yourself. And David has some very honest things to say here in Psalm 69 about, you know, other people and David's decisions. We'll talk about that as we go through this psalm. But I would tell you this. Pride has a way of deceiving people into thinking that they have never embraced folly. I'm not here to call anyone a fool, but I will point people to the Word of God. And if the Word of God describes something as foolishness, then it's foolish. There is wisdom and there is folly. So my job isn't to impose my standard. My responsibility and privilege is to lay out the Word of God and say, you know, where do you fall on the spectrum of foolishness and wisdom? Foolishness rejects God and His goodness and His blessings, and wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Oh God, you know my foolishness. When you realize that God knows everything, you can come clean. You don't have to put on a false appearance. You do not have to put on a pseudo bravado. You can be very real with God and say, this needs to be dealt with. He says, my sins are not hidden from you. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had some professors I really liked. I had some professors I found to be very forgettable. They found me to be a student that was very forgettable, I'm sure, as well. But one of the professors that I had described how people in ancient times would try and conceal their sins. They'd, you know, make sure the door was shut, the lights were out. They would try and do it under cover because they didn't realize that God could see through walls and He could see into hearts and know the thoughts and the intents of the, and God can see in the dark just as easily as He can see in the light. As you and I are listening here in Psalm 69, please realize that God knows what's going on. There are medical tests that people have, and those are the tests I want to flunk. I want to test negative for everything that's trying to kill me. But more than hearing, okay, you flunked the test, you got a negative result here for this, I really want to find out what is true. And David writes here, my sins are not hidden from you. So when you realize that God knows about your sins, I want to take you all the way back to verse number one. Then you can cry out, save me, O God. See, David knew God. David had a hunger for the presence of God. He enjoyed the presence of God. And he also realized that there were times in his life where he was overwhelmed with problems. Some of those problems were brought about by his own foolishness. And as much as David saw sin in others, he was not blind to the fact that he had sin in himself. And he said, God, I need you to save me. I hope all of us will make that a prayer in our life. God, save us. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.